Testing 1, 2. We're good. All right. So we got the recording issue taken care of. And we're going to go ahead tonight, and we are going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going into the book of Hebrews. It's been a while since I preached, and yes, I'm in an area that I'm comfortable, but this has been on my heart, because Pastor has been preaching just all the time about assembly, the house of the Lord, local church. He's just been hammering it home. And what he's been doing, because our pastor is probably one of your foremost theologians in the world, he is able to expound on this great truth of the meeting place from just about anywhere in the scripture. And so it's just so beneficial to me, I know, and I know it is to you guys because you're here. But every time he does, I always say to myself, Pastor, what about Hebrews? Come on, go there. The whole book is about those who wouldn't assemble. So he just doesn't. He's all over the place, all around it. And he'll every now and then pick a nugget out of Hebrews for me, I guess. But in any case, that's where we're at. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 10. That's where our big verse is. That's verse number 25. But I'm going to start reading Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm going to read through to 25. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's go ahead and just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this very clear truth and teaching that you've given us here today from what the Hebrews experienced in their day. We thank you that the truth is so clear here it can't be twisted. And we can gain conviction and principles because of the clarity of this passage. I hope that my preaching tonight and the conviction you've put on my heart to bring this forward to our church will help someone else to gain more conviction toward the assembly, towards your house, towards your desire to meet with your people. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask that you'll give me free course with your word. Fill me truly with thy Spirit, that I will preach your word correctly, dividing it appropriately. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight, we talk about church members and our heart condition. According to the Apostle Paul, based on the context of what we're going to look at tonight, which is basically what we read, we who are here tonight, we're displaying that we have healthy hearts. We're displaying that we have true hearts. We're displaying that we have assurance of faith. That is the fruit that comes from a true heart. And so I guess one could say I'm preaching to the choir. But because of the versatility of our church, this will go out and many listen. And I pray that not only it touches your hearts, but it touches their hearts too. So I'm going to start not at 19. I'm starting tonight in Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:22. It begins by saying, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is a lot going on in this verse. And I am not as eloquent as our pastor to expound completely on this all over the scripture, but I'm going to do the best I can to bring out the overall teaching here, okay? So the first part of that verse says, let us draw near with a heart with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So what Paul is doing here is he is challenging in the context a Jewish community that's under great persecution, and they're forsaking the assembly. And he is saying to them, let us draw near. He is telling them, come to the assembly. Literally, let us draw near. Come on. Well, what's the problem? They're forsaking it. So he's encouraging them. He's exhorting them, let us draw near. The Jew needed to display what had already happened in their heart. And they needed to put forth visible fruit of their true heart by drawing near to the assembly. They needed to display this visible fruit, which also displays faith towards Christ. You see, before you started coming to church, something happened in your heart. It's inward. The external doesn't happen until the inward. Have we been getting that from our pastor? I.e. 1 Peter? Right? So, you're here tonight for a reason. You're producing the fruit that Paul is encouraging the Jew at his time. Come forth. Come forth. Draw near. Draw near. The verse again says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. So if you draw near in that full heart and full assurance of faith, you're basically making a statement. You're making a public statement. You guys here are making public statements toward each other. That exhorts each other. So coming to church means you identify with Jesus Christ. That's what it does. It means you identify with Christ verbally, and also you identified, of course, with him through baptism. It means that you are identifying and you're displaying that true heart. If you turn over to Romans 10:10, remember, it's inward first, then the outward occurs. You must first be right with God inwardly before you can possibly put forth. Now, some people can fake it for a little while. But is it in true assurance of faith? Okay? So Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There it is. It's a heart first. Okay? It must happen inwardly. And then after that comes the public testimony. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you're displaying this true heart, this assurance of faith, through your confession when you get saved in the pulpit. I remember over to Manuel, that's what I did. I was encouraged to do that, and I did that. I wanted to do that. I wanted to celebrate my faith now in Christ. I was excited. And then what happened? I got baptized. And that's another public testimony of my assurance of faith. But it goes beyond that now, right? We need to keep putting forth that fruit. And we'll get into this a little later here, but the Lord is faithful. If you're a true convert, you're going to put forth fruit. Okay, so for the Jew in Paul's day, faith in Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection identified them with the final sacrifice. So understand the context here. I'm challenging you, Bible Baptist Church, to be faithful to the assembly, to come to church. That's really what the overall application is going to be. But the context is far worse. The context for the Jew was terrible. They were in tremendous persecution, death probably. I mean, think about it. They were meeting in synagogues, the Hebrews brings out they most likely were meeting in synagogues. They were probably meeting on Sunday when the synagogue wasn't being met in, because on Saturday was when they had the Sabbath. And so what was happening is probably some of those Jews were coming from Sunday and going back into the Sabbath on Saturday and practicing dead works. It's probably what was happening. But for the Jew who was not forsaking the assembly and going through the persecution, he was making a public declaration. He was saying to everyone, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Okay? Look over at Hebrews 9:12. This is in the context of what that Jew was going through. Hebrews 9:12. Did I get the right reference here? Hebrews 9:12. It was under him. Hebrews 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. This is that true heart. This is that assurance of faith. They might stand because of him that calleth. He called, they answered the call, they withstood the persecution, they're standing, they're there. You guys are here. That's what we're learning here in the context of Hebrews. They were proclaiming publicly that there is no more need for the temple in the very same building that was using the temple. That's what they were doing. Think about that. What are your challenges to get to church each week? I dare say we have no excuse. We're pampered. This public display or fruit was a demonstration of their true heart. That's what that was. So the Jew needed to identify with the once-for-all perfect high priest after the order of Melchizedek, both king and he is priest. Temple worship was now a display of dead works. Salvation always only came through faith in Jesus Christ. So Hebrews displays to us that for the Jew, he was now identifying with the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which all the Jews knew about in the very same temple on Sunday. On Sunday, while their friends and family were meeting on Saturday. Think about that. Really, really something. Turn over to Hebrews 7:1 just to look at that. This is Paul's teaching earlier. This is the context. Tell you why I'm a nut. There we are. Hebrews 7:1. Hebrews 7:1 says, "For this is Melchizedek, king of Salem. He was king, and not only was he king, he was priest." We are going to have a king-priest again in the millennium. Lord is king now. He is priest now. But he will physically reign again on this earth with the Jewish nation. He will be their king physically and priest again. Melchizedek, this order, this person who was king and priest is unusual. This pointed to somebody. The Jew knew that they had no answer for who Melchizedek was. Our Bible mentions his name twice. So Melchizedek, his eternal priesthood, everything that you could derive from just really the mysteriousness around him, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were identifying with that. They were turning from family, friends, work, whatever it took. They were coming to church. Whatever it took. I can't tell you how many times I've had to resist and say no to my family to come to church. And I don't want to be too coarse, and I don't want to be lording over, because everybody's, you know, has different challenges. But for me, we have had our challenges in the past. And it takes a pure heart. It takes an assurance of faith in order to do this fruit and to get here each and every Sunday under the Lord challenges that Satan puts before us as Christians to not be here. Whether it means to turn off your cell phone, whether it means to say no to the employer, whether it means to tell my family, I have a large family and they always do things on Sunday. That is the tradition of families in America. When I got saved, no more. I was not liked. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, I don't have a problem with telling people, you know, about the Lord. So I did with my family. But at the end of the day, getting to church was the most important thing. I'm not perfect, but the Lord has been faithful. He's gotten me here. So we're all here. Our drawing near to the assembly during COVID brought persecution. And for those that basically, for those of us who continue to attend based on biblical truths, displayed a full assurance of faith and true heart. So you guys, we just went through probably one of the most trying times of recent in our country when it came to churches. COVID. Think about it. I'm calling it what it is, guys. COVID. Look, when I came into COVID, I went into the office. Pastor said, what do you think? I said, well, let me tell you what I think. He shut me right up. He knew. Ah! Let me tell you what I think. That's why we have pastor. Right? He set me straight. I already know. I pray for my pastor. This sounds biblical, what he's telling me. Thus saith the Lord. And that those were my marching orders from there. So, this is the heart of assurance. This is the true heart. You can claim you have it, but where's your fruit? COVID weeded it out. A remarkable time. So, Paul challenges the Hebrew assembly. He says, let us draw near. He challenges them, the Hebrews. Let us draw near. Come on, get out of the temple on Saturday. Come on, let us draw near. Show me that true heart. Show me that heart of assurance. He also gives a command in 24. Let us hold fast in 24. He says in 23, that is. In 24, he says, let us consider. So let us draw. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. Paul is enticing those with the true heart and have full assurance to come on back. Come on. And I know you'll come back because the Lord's faithful. See, Paul wasn't all trepidatious. He had faith in the Lord. He was putting forth what the Lord wanted him to put forth, and he trusted the Lord. He said, here, I'm talking to people with true hearts and an assurance of faith. He's telling them, come on, draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. And he left it at the end of the day, no doubt, when he gave that message. He said, the Lord's going to deliver. That's it. And has the Lord delivered here? We went through COVID, and you guys are sitting in the seats today. So Paul tells the Jew that full assurance of faith produces fruit that comes from a true heart. Okay? For us here at Bible Baptist Church, our faith has produced the fruit of us being here tonight, and this should give you tonight, based on this message, assurance. You should be assured. You should feel good and built up. You can only pretend for so long. You just, look, for so long, and then suddenly, I'm sorry, I'm not saying this laughing at people. We believe in reconciliation, but you self-destruct. And it's sometimes it's longer than we anticipated. I have a little saying that I say with somebody who's struggling, and you're exhorting and you're trying. I always say to my family, don't get in the way. Get out of the way. Let the Lord run his church. Let the pastor take care of the church. Don't you try to take care of your problem in the church. You know a person's having a problem, you're trying to exhort, and you know how you exhort them? By coming to church. But you have to get out of the way. We here at Bible Baptist Church have had 10 disciplines in the last year based on COVID, based on church attendance. That's the facts. But that was the Lord. And I'll get more to that in the other part of my sermon here. So Hebrews 10:22 goes on and says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. This visible fruit of faithfulness to the assembly is only possible by faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the New Testament. And I won't go into the references here, but I'm looking at Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, which explained in the context of this book exactly who that mediator was and his sprinkling of blood and the sacrifice that he made at the Bema Seat. I'm sorry, not at the Bema Seat, at the throne of God in heaven. Okay? That's the context of Hebrews. You find it in Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, and also Hebrews 12, 24. I will have a look at that. Hebrews 12, 24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The context here, Jews had to make a choice. They were meeting on Sunday. They decided he's the mediator. He's the one that sprinkled his blood. They were meeting on Saturday. That was the Jesus Christ that didn't exist. You know, looking toward Christ still, because they either look forward or back, looking toward Jesus Christ. He hasn't come yet. So they're meeting on Saturday. Dead works. This is the true mediator, and this is who Paul is talking to. And so it goes on in Hebrews 10, 22, and it says, "And our bodies washed with pure water." So Paul makes reference to what the Jew already knew from the Old Testament. This is regeneration. This is the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is what they were experiencing in that day. They were experiencing what we had. When we got saved, the Spirit came in us. And for any of us that weren't saved, maybe as children, it was a night-day experience. I mean, my life changed. I saw truth. And nobody can take that from me. I changed as a person overnight. Okay, so the Spirit came in me. Well, that very same Spirit has been what they've been looking forward to in the Old Testament. So you'll find that in Jeremiah 31, 31. If you just turn there real quick to Jeremiah 31, 31. Pastor has covered this, and I'll just quickly read some of this. Jeremiah 31, 31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." Here's 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, this has millennial context to it also, and I could get into that, like Pastor so eloquently moves through and brings that message forward. But the bottom line is, the Jew knew what this was. He had no excuse. Look at Ezekiel 36. The Jews had this. They knew this. They had no excuse. Ezekiel, just like we have no excuse. Ezekiel 36, and you're looking at verse 25. Ezekiel 36, here's that sprinkling water. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." This is the New Testament. This is the New Testament. They were looking forward to this. Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest. He was the final sacrifice. The indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. All of this was the New Testament. And this is what Paul is teaching them in the book of Hebrews. They have no excuse. Some got saved. They had the indwelling ministry, and they were showing that full assurance of faith and a true heart. It's that simple. There's nothing difficult about this. It's so simple that Jesus Christ expected Nicodemus to get it, and he didn't get it. Take a look at, John 3, 3:5, I think it is. Oh, my life verse. Right, honey? Just thought of this one. I gotta go there. John 3:5. John 3:5. Jesus answered. He's answering Nicodemus in 3:5. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Look, the Jew already knew what this was. Nicodemus should have known what the water was. He didn't know. We get taught it wrong beforehand. We think the water is this birth water that a woman gives when you're born. No, 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 no. This is the cleansing water spoken of in Ezekiel 36:25. It's that water. And Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the Old Testament to the Jews, he should have known this. And Jesus is saying, you don't know this? Okay? So that's what's going on when Paul mentions in our verse that our bodies washed with pure water. To the Jew, that should have said, oh, that's the cleansing, that's the regeneration. That's the indwelling. Oh, that's what that should have meant. It is that which will ensure God's faithfulness to get us to church, is what Paul's kind of circling around and he's doing. So Hebrews 10:23, it goes on and it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So once you have that inward relationship and you're outwardly expressing it, hold fast. Holding fast is part of that fruit, outward expression. Again, I can't say it enough. You guys are here tonight. You're here tonight. And you're not here because of you. You're here because Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. That's why you're here. We can't take any glory for that. Because, let me tell you, it ain't always easy to get here. If I had my way, sometimes I'd say no. And I know I'm here all the time. So you think, oh, no, it's easy for you, whatever. No, I'm telling you, I'm just like anybody else. We could do something with tonight. Okay? So God is faithful. He's faithful. Many references here. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 10:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3. I do want to look at Hebrews 4:14. I'll do the Hebrew references because we're in the book of Hebrews, just to show you the context, and that what I'm teaching you tonight is Paul teaching the Hebrew in the context of what they should have known, what they were going through. Hebrews 4 and 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So if that's the case, it's saying, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is faithful. He is our perfect high priest. Look at 11:11. 11:11 says, Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah judged the Lord faithful. How'd she do that? How'd she judge him faithful? She had a right relationship here first. That's how she judged him faithful. And he did for her. Let's also take a look at 10:38. This is a good one. 10:38. "Now the just shall live by faith." That's our verse. The just shall live by faith. Do you believe that God's faithful? I did. I'm here tonight. We have a little fear of the Lord, right? We come in. We don't forsake this assembly. We come. Because we know if we don't come, and we could have, the Lord's faithful. He's not going to go away. He's going to let me go. He isn't. We're just not happy in our sin. It's that faithfulness of the Lord that we fear. He ain't going to let me go, because you know you have a true heart and assurance of faith. You're saved. All right. Hebrews 10:24 says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Okay, so for the Hebrew, contextually, this means to encourage fellow brethren to come to church. That's what it is. That's what we do. We have brothers and sisters in this church that need encouragement. And we pray for them. This is a direct, you can't wiggle through the context of this. I don't care who you are. Hebrews is straightforward. This is local church. And this is Hebrews struggling. Struggling to come to church. That's what this is saying. He ain't coming. We need to work on him. Get him here. That's what this says. But see, pastor never goes here. He always goes to 2 Samuel. And he gets that message out of there. So I'm simpler. Pastor, just tell him this verse. So I'm telling it to you tonight because I like this verse. It's so straightforward. So we are to encourage, we are encouraged by the Lord to do the same with our brothers and sisters here based on the book of Hebrews. That's how it works. CIA, context, interpretation, application. Here it is. Clear as day. Can't wiggle it. Go to church. Don't forsake the assembly. And if somebody's struggling, help them out. Amen. How do you help them out? Well, the first thing is, you got to get here. Yourself. Just by coming tonight, Alea, you encourage me.
Amen, brother.
That's all there is to it. Amen. We all love the same person.
Amen.
And so, Alea may not say, oh, I love Bill Gagnon. But she knows she loves Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And she's going to keep his commandment. And that's why I love her.
Amen.
And we all have the same. Okay? All right, so provoking unto love in good works, what does that mean? Well, we provoke each other unto love and good works, again, as we keep his commandment, as we come to church, as we, as pastor says, don't build files on each other. And remember that sermon? Anybody been here? Pastor, big file person, remember? We do not build files on each other. I am not building up, well, Earl's new. So I'm not, your file isn't scanning, and somebody else's is thick. Everybody's got no file. Because if there's something that's going into the file, we're to go and exhort and help a brother. That's what we're supposed to do. But you see, I'm preaching to the choir. Because you probably sit there and say, boy, I hope somebody else hears this. Well, yeah. But put it this way. I'm getting to this part of my sermon. If they have a true heart, if faith of assurance of faith, then the Lord's going to run his church. And he's going to take care of it. I've seen it happen too many times not to acknowledge that. And in the beginning as a Christian, I used to get in the way. Oh, I need to help this out. This can't happen. I gotta go help that situation out. Or else that brother might... No, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let the Lord run his church. So this is the lesson we learn. Hebrews 10:25. Here's the verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Yes, as the manner of some is. Today, I gave this verse to this Catholic man who I have had countless opportunities to witness with, and he always, because I wear tracks and I wear Jeff's track. I don't have it today, but I wear your tall track, and it sits in my pocket right here, and it says, Biblical Salvation, the Facts, Please. That's perfect because it sits up out of the pocket. And so that, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not a big cross guy. I don't wear a cross and do all that to display that I'm a Christian. But I am not afraid to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
I wear it everywhere I go. And I'm always talking to people and they're looking at it and they're wondering what that's all about. And I'm just hoping it opens a door. Well, this has been opening doors for me for a year now with this guy named Dan. And so he said, what are you doing now? What's going on? I said, I'm preaching tonight, Dan. He says, what are you doing? And I said, Hebrews 10:25. And I cited the verse because I know it by heart now, praise God. And he said, I never knew that was in the Bible. I said, yeah, you should go to church, Dan. Yeah, God wants you to go to church.
Amen.
He looked at me. See, this stuff to us is simple, but to them, this is new. This is life-changing. That's why tonight I'm not trying to outdo Pastor Strauss. I'm just bringing forth simple stuff. All right, so here it is. This is probably the most popular verse, I think, in the New Testament. It's used by pastors all over to encourage church members to come to church. And unfortunately, most often heard only by those who are in attendance. Thus, preaching to the choir. So because of the context, we know now that Hebrews 10:25 means first, we ourselves are keeping God's commandments and displaying publicly our faith in Jesus Christ by coming to church. That's simple. I read it slow and simple because that's how I am. I'm a slow, simple guy. That's exactly what Hebrews 10:25 is saying in the context of those verses 22 through 25. You are displaying your true heart by coming to the assembly. Not only are you doing that, you're exhorting each other by coming to church. And this is, coming to church, is a public demonstration of your faith. You are publicly showing tonight you have faith in Christ. That should make you feel good. You got here. And it edifies me. And it edifies everybody here. So by forsaking the assembly, you don't edify. All right? Now, take this in the context that it is. If you're not here tonight, I'm sorry, but everybody here wants the other person here. We want them here. You're not judging them necessarily, but you want them here because you know the Lord wants you there. Look, I struggle big time right now myself. Look, I'm the first offender. My son, August, to get this engineering degree has had to miss 2 to 3 years, many Wednesday nights. So I'm a hypocrite if I'm pointing fingers at somebody else. I'm just as our pastor does. He just gives us the truth, and then he lets you deal with it. And that's simply all I'm going to do here tonight. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody here, or even the people that aren't in the seats right now. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants us here. And like Ryan, if you pray about it, you're here. So that's what this verse teaches. If we're not here, we present a stumbling block that provokes fellow church members unto sin. It's what happens. I know we're not supposed to judge. And I know we're not supposed to point fingers. And whatever the case, and say, oh, wow, I've got, 38 straight years of perfect attendance and you can't get it right for what. It's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying here is that you need to be here. And the only way that works, the only way the Lord works his church is if you have that true heart and full assurance of faith. Because if you're a church member who has that and you're missing and forsaking the assembly, what did I say earlier? Church member, after you've tried, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Because the Lord is faithful. He is not going to let that person go. Now, it may take a long time. We have disciplined out 10 people in this church, and we're praying for them all. We have seen some come back. Right? Let the Lord, who's faithful, work in the true heart, the one that has full assurance of faith. Okay? It is not okay to be disobedient and stumble and cause others to stumble. Only you know in your heart on Sunday morning, if you're not here, if you're stumbling. Only you know. And that's where the Lord wants it. He wants you to know. That's it. He's not wanting Bill Gagnon to know. He wants you to know. And you will know. The Lord is faithful. He ain't going to let you go. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter that outside pressure against the truth was affecting church members. And in turn, because it was affecting church members, we have 1 Peter 2, 7, and 8. Because it was affecting church members, it was affecting other church members. It was outside pressure coming in, i.e. COVID. And it was affecting church members and in turn church members. Take a look at 1 Peter 2, 7, and 8, 1 John 2, 10. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to church. If you love each other, you come to church. COVID was outside pressure against the truth, Jesus Christ. That's all it was. That's what it was. Sorry, that's what it was. How many Bible Baptist church members stumbled because the churches, other friendly churches to our church, stumbled at the outside pressure of COVID persecution? Our pastor was literally, I think he was basically disagreed with. He must have talked to the majority of the pastors he talked to. This grieved our pastor. The majority of the pastors he talked to differed with our pastor. Think about that. These are our fellow friends. They differed with him on this great truth. Government does not have the authority to supersede God's authority. Period. Our other church friends who levied at us were claiming Romans. No, 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 no. What about Mark 12? Take a look at that. You all know it. You could probably say it before I get there. Mark 12 and verse 17. 12:17. And Jesus answered. That was unto the disciples, and he said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Does it get simpler than that? Is that a pretty precise, as Dr. Aaron Strauss would say, is that not a wonderful thesis statement? That pretty much covers it for these disciples who were wondering, what do we do, Lord? Look, Hebrews 10:25 is Lord's. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's the Lord's command. Government's got nothing to do with that. If a government to step in and usurp that, that's wrong. That's wrong. We had many friends who did not agree. But we stood firm. We showed assurance of faith. All of you sitting here, you stood for the truth. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As ye see the day approaching. You know, this day approaching, I read Pastor's commentary on this because I needed help with that. What's the day approaching that they're seeing? Pastor made some interesting points, and I'm going to run with these. The day approaching could be the destruction of the temple. And the million Jews that would be killed as a result. Remember, that temple's going bye-bye. Maybe they saw it coming. Maybe the scuttlebutt was all over, and this tremendous time of persecution for the Jews and the destruction of that temple, they saw it coming. As you see the day approaching. Could have been that. Could have been that. How about the day approaching could be the day spoken of to the Jews in Isaiah, and then in 1 Peter 2:12. Take a look at 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest, the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This day of visitation is the prophecy given to us by Isaiah in 10:3 concerning the day of judgment for the nation of Israel. That could be a possible day approaching that they were looking to also. Could be the Bema Seat that the Lord was so clear about teaching in his ministry. Any of these days approaching was something that meant take care of business now as you see the day approaching. So what is that? That is a warning. That is a warning to those Jews who are forsaking the assembly. And he is saying, you better acquire a true heart in assurance of faith as you see the day approaching. All right. Here at Bible Baptist Church, we've been through several church disciplines, and I want to share something with you because this pure heart, this assurance of faith was interesting to me, and that's why I'm sticking this. This was the thesis for my sermon, really. It related to me church discipline and what goes on during church discipline. So it's important that you understand this. Go to Matthew 16. And you know the verse in Matthew 16, verse 18. 16, 18. This is really when the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the disciples and building his church. He had an assembly before, no doubt. Some of us believe that even before chapter 10, he had his assembly. But this is Jesus Christ edifying and building up his church. He's officially building it. And he tells Peter in 18, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." That's the local church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Isn't that wonderful? They're not going to prevail against us. "And I will give unto thee," that's Peter, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's salvation. That's the gospel. That's the authority now the local church has with the word of God to get people saved. Amen. Amen. That's what that is. Amen. True heart, assurance of faith. That's a person who's saved. And they were being told by Paul in Hebrews, you need to display that heart. He said, come. Come. Think about it. Turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Take a look at verse 18. Matthew 18, 18 says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." There's that binding and loosing again. But what's the context here? The local church where two or three are gathered, church discipline, what are they doing? They're binding and loosing. Very interesting. They're binding and they're loosing. "And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." 19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That is the most popular verse that we have. We used it a lot, that you can't have that type of meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ unless we assemble. Because this is local church context, right? So what's happening here is that two or three, that's all it takes to make a church, get together in the midst of church discipline, they are able to determine what is already established in heaven. It's already been established there. They know the true heart in heaven. They know the full assurance of faith in heaven. They already know what's being dealt with in your discipline. All you're supposed to do is carry it out. So when we discipline a church member out, we pray that they fall under the condemnation of Satan. We want that because that means they have a pure heart. They really do have full assurance of faith, or they should have full assurance of faith, that is. Which means, what is it? The Lord is faithful. He's not going to let them go. And if they don't turn and they keep kicking against the Lord the whole time, they're going to be kicking. They are not going to be happy in their sin. They are never going to have peace. So what does that mean? Binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. Did you loose the person from the church? Are they saved or not saved? You're dealing with a saved or not saved issue here. That's all we're dealing with. It's all we do. We've disciplined 10 out. Who's responded? Who hasn't? We're not supposed to go and reach out and find out. There could be some struggling people over there. We don't know yet because the Lord's at work. And we're to be praying because we want reconciliation. But if there is nothing that goes on in that person's life and they prosper and they grow and they get all the world that they want, This verse says they are not saved. Now that's for heaven. We just carried out heaven's will by disciplining them up. Think about that. This is not hard. For me to understand, it means it's simple. So at the end of the day, binding and loosing. Very important, and we don't get a lot of preaching on that. Pastor does, but you don't hear a lot of it. So by coming to church, we display a perfect heart. We display our full assurance of faith. We know that no matter the external pressure of coming to church, the Lord is faithful and He will enable us to fulfill His will. It's just what's going to happen. Sunday looks far off. Things are happening. You get the call. Hey, we're having the big family barbecue. It's on Sunday. Oh, well, I'll squeeze in Sunday school. That's good enough. This is the only way I know how to preach, guys. I am not pointing to any of you. I'm hoping it doesn't happen with me. Look. Do yourself a favor. Sunday morning, turn the cell phone off so no one can contact you through the day because it is the Lord's day. Thank you, Dave. And I'm talking about family. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about clients and whoever. And when the call comes in during Sunday morning and the call comes in, don't blame the family. Why are they calling you now? They should know you're at church. That's the question you need to ask yourself. Ooh. Right? Assembly comes first. God meets first. Wednesday night, this is a struggle for me. Because I got no footing to be dogmatic on Wednesday night right now because I've got a son who's using Wednesday nights. He's home right now taking a class. But I'll tell you what, I'm concerned for his spiritual growth. And so I'm all over him, which fortunately he's at home and I can be. And when he comes here, you guys should exhort him.
Amen. That's good, brother. Amen.
Know that he's missing, and I know why he's missing, but he's going to need as much as he can get here. Give it to him.
Amen.
All right? And I hope you'll do the same for me. All right, that's what I've got for you tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this pulpit, for this opportunity you've given me to display to this assembly what you've put on my heart over these many months of our pastor just standing firm on the great truth of your love for the assembly. Praise you, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that through faith in Him, He is faithful as our high priest, our final sacrifice, and He will deliver us. I pray for each church member that's here tonight, and I pray for those who aren't. I pray that they truly will take time to find this message once our brother Jeff can get it online, and that they'll listen to it. Gracious Lord, at the end of the day, You made a great promise that the gates of hell will not stand against this church, Bible Baptist Church. And we just hold on to that great promise. For it's in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's name, that I pray. Amen. Amen.